and knock on our door.
Come knock on our door.
We've been waiting for you.
We've been waiting for you.
Where the kisses are hers and hers and his. Three's company too. Come and dance on our floor.
Come and dance on our floor.
Thank you for knocking on our door and welcome to the Regal Beagle Podcast, a podcast dedicated to the much-loved television sitcom Three's Company. Here we review and discuss each and every Three's Company episode, covering all 8 seasons in chronological order. My name is Danko Jones, and joining me today is my cousin Cameron. Cameron, how are you doing today?
I'm back. I'm great. I'm really great.
Two things.
Yeah.
I'm very happily glad, relieved that you watch the episodes. You're not cramming them in at the last minute.
I'm a couple minutes late, but I made it.
Yeah, I didn't get a text or a message or an email from you going, "Hey, you got to give me another hour."
Under the gun. Yeah. Well, yeah. That, you know what? I was excited to watch this episode.
Yeah.
To season 5, episode 4 or 5, I think it was.
It's
episode 5.
Episode,
yeah.
Oh my god. Yeah, I hope you watched the right episode.
Yeah, 4 was one of my more favorite episodes. But yeah, 5.
And then point number 2 I wanted to make was, I think "I'm back" should be your catchphrase.
Oh. I guess I don't really have a catchphrase.
That's how you started talking on this episode.
No, I know, but that's what I mean. It's like I've never had a catchphrase before, but I'm willing to adopt one.
Yeah, I submitted. It's, I don't think you would be the first to use it, but
I was going to say, I feel like I'm taking that from something else, somebody else. I'm back.
Yeah.
But I am back. Here I am. I'm a glutton for punishment.
Here we go. Okay, season 5, episode 5, A Crowded Romance. It aired December 2nd, 1980, directed by Dave Powers, written by Mark Tuttle and Don Nickel. Jack and Larry fall in love with the same girl. Cameron, what did you think of A Crowded Romance?
The whole time I was wondering what my nickname would be if I was also simultaneously dating Bunny.
Oh, interesting.
Right? Because, yeah. Because Jack was, I think Jack was Sweet Cheeks,
was he? Jack was Cuddle Cakes.
Cuddle Cakes, sorry. Sweet Cheeks was Larry.
Larry. Yeah,
Cuddle Cakes.
Yeah.
I'm sworn, and I thought the whole time, you know, and I was really, the way the episode was going, I wasn't sure we were going to see this woman.
Right.
And the whole time with the way that she had, like, hypnotized Larry and the way that Jack was head over heels, I was like, this, she better be a bombshell.
And?
I wasn't disappointed.
Nice.
I must say, I was not disappointed.
Twinkie or Bunny, depending on who you talk to, Larry or Jack, was played by Rebecca Holden. And she was part of the Knight Rider cast.
Uh-oh.
She was a soap opera actress in General Hospital. She's still acting in TV movies and shorts.
Today?
And she had a few music records out on BMG in Europe.
Wow.
So she had a whole music career in Europe.
Great hair. She had great hair.
For the times, it was almost what year was this? 80. So for the time, it was almost the signature style.
The big sort of blown out full hair. It was just a very full head of hair.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's that.
I thought it was a fun episode. I was hoping there would, it's a, you know, a premise, a storyline that has, I think, a lot of ways you could go with it. I thought I kind of at the very end, I was a bit disappointed with how, you know, there was so much buildup and then it just kind of like, just was like a balloon that you sort of, you lost the air and it just kind of flapped all over the room before it landed on the ground. You know what I mean? Like, she just kind of like, you know, skipped off and said that was it. And the guys were just like, kind of shrugged, whatever. I don't know.
It kind of didn't really have too much closure.
No, it didn't. But I will say, notably, I was impressed, and as I have been in this season, with Janet's performance. I mean, arguably, she sort of was the central character in this episode, in the sense that she was sort of trying to keep the two guys from finding out and then keeping them sort of away from each other's throats. And the scene where she's preventing Larry from showing Jack the photo and pretending she needs water, like, I think she was a lot more physical than I've ever seen her before and seems to sort of really be stepping up to fill the void that, you know, has been left with this absence of Chrissy.
Great physical acting from Joyce DeWitt. Absolutely. Which is,
yeah, for sure, like, new for me. Normally she just kind of, like, you know, has a laugh and then walks off. And interesting too that Chrissy was mentioned twice in the episode. You know, once sort of for us, I think the audience, when Larry comes in and is, you know, wants to tell everybody in the apartment that he's in love, and Janet goes, "Oh, Chrissy's still at her parents', she's not here." And then she gets a phone call, but we don't see her. We don't hear her. It's just a one-ended conversation. There isn't a two-box or a split, or they're not cutting between Chrissy. You know, Suzanne Summers didn't make an appearance in face or voice in this episode, which I thought was interesting. But they're still letting us know that, you know, she's a person that's still part of their lives, but she's just not there right now.
Yeah, you're right. And an interesting when it comes to Joyce DeWitt, not Janet Wood, but Joyce DeWitt had some subtle product placement in this episode. There's a scene where Janet is exercising at home.
Yes.
She's wearing pantyhose, if you notice. And she was, Joyce DeWitt back in the 80s, was the spokesperson for Legs Pantyhose. That's Legs with two G's. She was the actual spokesperson. She was in the commercials.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she was a big thing for Legs Pantyhose back in the 80s. Even people to this day who aren't even Three's Company fans always say, when I mention Three's Company and Janet and Joyce DeWitt, they always, a lot of time, someone will mention, "Oh, yeah, she was like the Legs Pantyhose girl."
Oh, my God. I had no idea. I didn't even, but I mean, were they branded? No, it was just, she was in pantyhose and we're just assuming that there were legs, right?
Well, yeah, but, you know, yeah. Yeah, I mean, if I'm, you know, doing some sort of Coke campaign, Coca-Cola campaign, and I'm shot on my sitcom TV show drinking a pop.
Was this sort of new for 1980?
In terms of, like, celebrity representatives?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. But she's got to be one of my earliest recollections of celebrity endorsements. I can't think of anyone else earlier, but I'm sure, like, back in the 50s and 60s, people were always endorsing cigarettes and
did you I'm having a brain fart here. Did you recap the episode in this podcast?
What do you mean?
Well, typically when, you know, we sort of talk about these episodes, you sort of do a little recap and then you ask me what I thought. And I think you just asked me what I thought, but you didn't recap.
No, I said Jack and Larry fall in love with the same girl.
You did. I guess that really sums it up, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, what more do I need to extrapolate on?
Well, I think you need to extrapolate a little bit more. And maybe as a child of the 80s, tell me if this mechanical man in the department store window was a thing that happened on a regular basis?
I would have to say yes and no. Earliest recollections, there was always these mechanical puppets on display in department stores. The most famous, if you're from Toronto, was the Simpsons Christmas display at Queen and Yonge.
Okay.
And, my parents used to take me downtown they make a trek of it to see the Christmas display with the mechanical toys. It still happens to this day, but back then it was a bigger deal. And I do believe that there were actual mechanical, you know, actors in department stores back when I was a kid. Well, I just don't think there are any anymore, but back then I think there were. I do remember as a kid seeing a few, but I don't think it was, you know, super common.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I just wasn't. Yeah. That was just it was fascinating to me.
Well, I don't think it's that fascinating anymore because, you know, this was a time during, you know, where there was R2-D2 and Battlestar Galactica and Buck Rogers, and people were fascinated with science fiction in television and in movies. So there was more robots. We had just landed on the moon just a little over a decade ago. So there was a huge fascination with science fiction, with space, with robots, with computers. But nowadays, I mean, we send tweets, you know, telling people that, you know, we hated the person who just won the Oscar.
Right.
You know, like, it's not a big deal. There's a machine that will vacuum your apartment, and all you got to do is press a button, and all it does is it does it on its own. And there's all these machines and robots already within our lives that I don't think we need to see it reflected back to us in a department store window. And how many department stores are left anyways?
True. Very true. This was really coming full circle here. Wow.
I do want to mention the one of the supporting characters in this episode was the woman in the flower shop, the customer.
Yeah, who's getting change for the meter.
Yes. Listen, small bit part, didn't even last a minute, but hey, played by a woman named Faye DeWitt. No relation to Joyce DeWitt. No relation to Janet Wood.
What?
Yeah. She's still acting to this day. Get this. But in 1965, this woman who had this like small bit part in this episode was charged in real life with stabbing her ex-husband. But the charges were dropped when they found out he had broken into her house and banged her head on the wall. Isn't that crazy? Yeah. So this is post being charged for stabbing her husband. She gets a job on Three's Company.
Wow. No relation.
No relation to the DeWitt on the show. In the main cast. Yeah.
Wow. Well, I mean, she definitely played pushy well in the episode.
Yes. Yes. Well, you know, she's got some experience playing pushy when she stabs her attacking husband.
Yeah. I was hoping for more when the episode was set up and they kind of fell in love. I was hoping Furley would be thrown in the mix too, but I don't know. Overall, I think the whole crowded romance fell a bit flat in general, which I guess is sort of just really right in the wheelhouse for this show, right?
Well, no, I have to disagree with you. I love the fact that Jack and Larry, you know, pretend to fight over this girl before they realize that it's the same girl and they're playfully fighting with each other. Those kinds of moments are hilarious. I find them totally hilarious.
Oh, excuse me. Yeah, I mean, Larry, I think, his stock is continually rising.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's just because we see more of him in the sense that there's fewer characters sort of at play now. But yeah, I mean, when they were play fighting, I was like, this is going to go. Like this, the closing scene is going to blow my mind. No. And like, you know, I take myself back to the end of like Blue Movie or something, that episode or Blue, whatever that was, where they had the secret porn. And then that, like that ending where everything came together was just like, oh man, this will be great. You know? And then how is Janet going to be involved and are they actually going to come to blows? I don't know. And then it just kind of was just like, you know, oh, she's dating five guys, you know, have a giggle and then run off. I mean, I feel like they just kind of got a little, lazy at the end, maybe.
Yeah, well, you know, listen, as much as I love the show,
it can't all be winners.
Well, expecting to have your mind blown like you you were admitting is just not something that the show will deliver on. You know, Breaking Bad, the end of Breaking Bad, maybe. But not Three's Company. For me, knowing that going into each and every episode, I'm never let down.
So you set your expectations quite low.
No, not low, but just at a medium point.
Just sort of, okay, a medium expectation.
Yeah, and I mean, the laughs, you don't need to laugh heartily, you know. You don't need to have your expectations so high to laugh heartily.
Sure, okay, you know? Yeah. I'm looking for something that's not there. So I'll keep that in mind next week, if I'm still allowed to watch next week's episode. to approach it with a medium expectation.
Oh, we'll come back next week.
Okay.
And listen, I'm going to let you off the hook for a while. After next week, I'm going to bring in some other people, give you a break, a much needed rest, and then we'll see you after this long, kind of semi-long protracted break.
Yeah, much needed is right. I mean, oh boy. Okay. All right.
But come back next week, though.
Next week. I'll come back next week with medium expectation.